Bless him. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 385, stanzas 1 and 3. Deliver me from evil. Preserve me, Lord, from wrong. Against the foes that gather, be thou my helper strong. From those who plot to hurt me and spread their treacherous snare, preserve me, Lord, and keep me safeguarded in thy care. 1 and 3 of Psalter 385.
wish to read out of God's holy and precious word from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 7, but before that, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye shall be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we shall bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of this earth, thou who hast created us good and upright as those that did love and serve thee, how deeply we have fallen, so that thou hast given unto us thy law, and yet we are without thy law, as thy servant did see, was also in his own life. I was without the law once. And when he was without that law, he was alive. But when that commandment came, then sin revived and he died. O Lord, there is no man that can bring that commandment into our hearts, young or old, great or small, then it was only thee. And when he thought to do what was right, and that did come in his life, and that did show unto him that he did kick against the pricks. O Lord, wilt thou bring thy commandment, and wilt thou show unto us what we are in thy most holy sight, for we could never stand before thee. As we may read, thou hast spoken unto thy servant Job, and thou didst ask him question upon question, but he was not able to give unto thee a single answer, and that a righteous man who feared God and eschewed evil. Thy own servant, but his mouth had to be brought into the dust. Oh, who shall be able to stand when thou wilt appear unto us, and then our whole life and all our religion and all our profession, it shall all become black before us. And then we shall see who we truly are. And then we shall say with thy servant Job, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself in dust and in ashes. Oh, what is needed to bring a man into that dust before thee? So often trials and tribulations and persecutions and afflictions in this world, which we do not wish to suffer, and which we will not bow under, except that thou wilt give it unto us. For thou sayest, blessed are the meek, and they shall inherit the earth. And thou didst make thy servant meek also, when he did say that he gloried in tribulations also. For tribulation worketh experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Oh, that thou may give that experience also to each and every one of us, that we might learn with patience to endure whatever that thou dost bring upon us, and that we also may be counted among those of whom thou dost speak of and thou sayest, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, that we may be prepared by thee to endure that which thou wilt have us to endure with great meekness and humility. For we do raise our fist against heaven, except that thou givest us a heart of true humility, and that we may be given to see what our own iniquity and sin is, when we are going to have to bow our necks under our captors, and that thou mayest remember us as a people, that thou wouldst work that true work of grace by thy Spirit in the heart of each and every one, young and old. And thou knowest also those who do cry unto thee for all that lives within their heart and for everything that is lacking within them. Then also a Hannah of old, as she has come before thee, and she has complained unto thee of her own barrenness, that she was without fruit, and thou knowest where thy people are, that do mourn under this affliction, that they can bring forth nothing that is good, nothing that is right in thy holy sight. Oh, that they may have come up also with such a burden in their heart in this afternoon hour. Oh, Lord, that thou wouldst give unto me a little fruit. Then all things would be dedicated unto thee. Oh, that thou mayest look upon all that are afflicted in their souls, whom thou hast taught the knowledge and the fear of thee, who do not wish to transgress any of thy statutes and commandments, who do fear before thee, who do tremble in their own inner chamber before thee. Thou knowest those who sigh and who cry. Oh, that thou mayest give in this afternoon a little token that thou knowest where that they are, and that thou may give a little food to the hungry and a little drink unto the thirsty, and that they may be upholden upon the way wherein that thou dost lead them through the wilderness of this life. And when thou art so hidden unto thy own children, and that thou mayest show thyself as the Savior of those who are lost, oh, then they must say that they do not seek thee, and it is a wonder that thou dost seek after those who are lost. Oh, Lord, then they beseech of thee, wilt thou come? Oh, come for the first time, come for the second time. Oh, come for the 100th time. And because we are those that do wander out of the way continually, and we are a sheep that can never find that right pathway again. But thou who hast, who dost lead thy sheep as that great shepherd, who did go before them in this world, in the way of suffering and in the way of meekness. And thou who didst say unto them, follow me, that we may also be given so to take up our cross here below, and that our hope and our expectation may be in thee who hast fulfilled all the law, who hast not left one jot or one tittle, and that is not accomplished, who hast paid that awful price even with thine own blood, even unto death, for the sake of those who deserve to die, for the sake of those who are not able to keep thy law. Oh, that I may be directed to that blessed sacrifice of thy dear and only begotten Son. Oh, that thou would send thy Holy Spirit, O Lord, and that thou mayest give deliverance unto thine own. Remember us all together, those who are strangers of that way of grace. Oh, that thou mayest give in the life of many that new birth, that there may be a crying from the depths of desolation, that there may be a felt bondage, as was in the land of Egypt by thy people, and that there may be a cry that ascends unto heaven, which thou wilt hear for the sake of thy only begotten Son. O Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Care for the sick and the afflicted, her that lieth in the hospital in these days, and that thou mayest heal her in the body, and that thou mayest strengthen and bring home safely again, and that thou mayest give to all that mourn comfort from above, help in all the circumstances in this world and wherein that we are living. Help thou our rulers, and give them wisdom amidst all the turmoil that is here below. Lord, thou hast given them their place. Thou hast set each and every one of them upon their thrones, and that thou mayest give also in the land in which we dwell a people who may look up unto thee, and who may beseech thee also for them, that we may do according to thy will, and that we may follow after their commands as thy own commands, and that thou mayest give in the midst of us a reprieve from all the affliction that lieth upon us. Wilt thou keep us as churches also, and that thou mayest give thy truth to be propagated, and that there may be understanding hearts, and that thou would lead us and help us also as consistories to lead our congregations in these tumultuous times. Give us wisdom, give us discretion, and give us the tender fear of thy most holy name, and that thou mayest lead us into all thy truth. Wilt thou care for all thy servants? Wilt thou increase their numbers here below, and strengthen each one of them in the place that thou hast given them here below, and that they may receive faithfulness, diligence, each one in the calling wherein thou hast set us, and that thou mayest bless also those labors. Oh, could it be that we may rejoice to see a little fruit upon the labors, and that thy name may be magnified and glorified in this one or that one. And wilt thou remember all the nations that are at war, all those that have conflict, all Satan's devices to bring evil into this world are so many. He goes about as a destroying lion, but he also goes about as an angel of light. Oh, that thou mayest put away all his devices, and that thou mayest give a supply for all that rule and reign over us. Remember thou us as countries, as citizens, as rulers. Remember thou us as churches. Remember thou us as individuals, as people, each one with a soul that has to stand before thee to give an account of all that we have done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Oh, that we might learn something of our need for that dear and blessed Son of God. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 240, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to Thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance in Thy mercy. Answer me. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 240. Our text for this afternoon, congregation, can be found in the portion that was read to you, Romans 7, and thereof verses 21 through 23. Romans 7, verses 21 through 23. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So far in the words of our text, the spiritual warfare of the militant church. First, the warring parties. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, the warring parties. Second, the prevailing party, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, the prevailing party. The spiritual warfare of the militant church, first the warring parties, second the prevailing party. I find then a law. What congregation is a law? A law is something that is established. It is established by an authority, usually. That is what we call a law. Or it may be established by custom or usage, and that we say something is a law. We read here of the law of God. Law of God that is established by God. But Paul speaks here about several other laws. He speaks about the law that is in my members. He speaks about the law of my mind. He speaks about the law of sin, which is in my members. Those are all things that he speaks about as things that are established. Thus, he speaks about the law of his mind. What is that? We have spoken about the mind, and we distinguish that from the will and the affections, but that is not here what Paul is distinguishing when he is speaking about the law of the mind. But here he speaks about all of them together, because he speaks, we read here, about the inward man, that is, that new man, by virtue of that new birth, and that has a mind, and it has a will, and it has affections, and he calls it all together here the law of his mind. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, that is the new law of his mind. That law of God, he says, that is established in my mind, that is established in my soul. He speaks about delight. Delight in the law of God. So we spoke about it last week. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That is now what the Apostle Paul is also speaking about here. The delight that is in that new heart of that young church to fear the Lord. But now the apostle speaks here about something else. He says, But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. We promised to speak about that last time. The warfare of the militant church, that is what the apostle here is describing. We read of the children of Israel that they have come out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord, He did not lead them through the land by the way of the Philistines. And why not? He said, lest they should see war and be discouraged, be disheartened, be afraid, and return into Egypt. How good the Lord is. That tender people, only just delivered, only, we would say, just born again, and the Lord, He does not give to them war in all of its extremity immediately. No, the Lord, He is so tender with His people. Then He does not show them everything that is living in their heart in one moment. Because then they would be so discouraged and so disheartened. And so we read of the gentleness of the Lord. And yet that warfare has to come. As we have heard the church triumphant, they are coming off of the battlefield. And so that has to come. And so we read, Paul says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. And who then is that enemy? He says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. When I would do good. What is that? That is that mind of that new man. It is the mind, it is the desire of that inward man. We have spoken about that. We have sent you home with that. That mark of that true church, every one of that true church. And that will receive in their heart such a desire to walk according to the law of God that will be their delight. And now he speaks about the enemy of it. Do you have an enemy then? What is that enemy? He says, evil is present with me. Is that your enemy too? Evil is present with me. These are the warring parties. They are the warring parties in the heart of the church militant. They are not the warring parties in the heart of the world, in the heart of a mere professing church. You say, is there not evil present with every single man in this world? Indeed there is. Indeed there is. But not a warfare. And why not? Because there is no new man. And when there is no desire to do that which is right, then there will not be that warfare against this evil. There will not be a conflict. Say, I have a conflict. Say that, young people, I do. If I'm honest, I have a conflict. Because I also have a conscience. That is right. And that is in every single person in the whole world. We have a conscience. And what does our conscience do? It says, you do wrong and you ought to do right. So how do I know? Then what is now the warfare of that true church? And what is now the conscience that is living in the heart of every single person in this world? You know what the difference is? The difference is between love and fear. Because a judge, there is no love. When a judge brings us to that judgment seat, then there is nothing that draws our heart unto that judge. It is so very cold. It is all just a law. And it is a law that I have to obey. And my conscience tells me that I do not obey. And my conscience tells me that I will be punished that I do not obey. That is a different warfare. That is not the warfare, well, that is in the church militant too. They have a conscience too. But they have something else. They have the new man. And that new man that is guided by those affections, you remember? That new disposition, that new will, that delight, there is something that is drawing that people to that obedience. And so the conscience that makes us tremble, but it does not make us mourn. But I see another law in my members. Evil present with me. That is not seen in the members of everyone else around me. Paul, he says, I see it in my own members. How difficult it is for us to see our own sin. Because Paul, when he was a Pharisee, then there was a time that he saw sin in everyone else. All of his neighbors, they had sin. But he never saw the sin which lived in his own heart. And now he complains about a law which is in his own members. What a change. Ever have that change in your life? That you have begun to see not the sin of other people, but that the commandment of the Lord has come home to you yourself. Evil is present with me. What does he complain about? Does he complain about making a mistake? Does he complain that he has made an error? Oh, that is often how it begins. Also in the life of that young church. Then they begin to see their mistakes. They begin to see their faults. Once in a while, they arise from temptations. Temptations that are too great for them. Oh, they come and they see from the outside. They are like Peter. Oh, he should not have been there. He should not have been in that high priest palace. No, he was told that he had to leave him now. And when we are in those places that we do not belong, then so often there are coming temptations. And those temptations, then they are experienced by the people as greater than they are able to bear. And then, oh, how they condemn themselves afterwards. And then they are filled with reproaches of themselves. How often they do not fear that they are actually going to be a castaway. And then what is necessary? It is necessary that the Lord is coming. And that the Lord is making it right again. Because otherwise they are filled with despondency. And that they have sinned everything away. Oh, then they are filled sometimes with vows again. Then they are filled with the promises. Oh, then they are brought again upon their knees before the Lord. And then they promise the Lord that they are going to watch ever more closely in their life. Do you know such a life? Falls. Just think of David. What awful falls God's children can fall into. Adultery, murder, in order just to cover up my own adultery. Oh, congregation, how this is taking place in the world in which we live. Young people, does that take place sometimes? Here, a young person, murder, abortion, just to cover up shame and guilt. No, let us not be in places where we can fall. But when we fall, let us not add sin, young people, unto sin that is so fearful. Oh, that God's servant, he looked back in his life and he said, "Oh Lord, remember not, O God, the sins of long ago, and how we will carry that with us then and for the rest of our life." God's servant, David, the man after God's own heart, what a fall. Solomon, oh, then we see him. He is drawn and by his wicked wives. Oh, it was all his own lust for the riches, for recognition in this world, and that he is taking unto himself so many wives. And his wives, they drew away his heart. Do you see what may happen unto us, young people? Oh, you say, maybe I take her from here, I take her from him from there. I will bring him into the church. No, to get married is not mission work. To get married is not mission work. No, when you get married, then first there has to be a joining together unto the truth. First, there is an agreement with those things that you cannot disagree on. And when you are going to be bound together through this life, and then there may be marriage. Oh, the falls. David, Solomon, and then what a separation. Do you know what that is? Oh, then they knew. David knew. What a separation. Do you think that David then could pray? Do you think that David has then received any communion from the side of the Lord? That the Lord has spoken and that he has enjoyed something of tokens of his presence in those times? No, we do not read that in the Bible. It is a separation. And that is what sin does between the Lord and our soul. And then that man, he is going on his knees. Oh, and then he is asking the Lord, "Cast me, Lord, not away out of thy presence. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And blessed indeed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, as Peter, as David, as Solomon, because why? They shall be filled, or even when they are falling. But do you know what the Lord says to Ezekiel? The Lord says to Ezekiel, "Turn thee yet again, and I will show unto thee greater abominations than these." Now we read of Ezekiel that he went in and he beheld. And what did he see there? Every form of creeping thing and abominable beasts. That is now what the Lord is doing with his people. No, it is not all at once. But it is step by step, slowly, one at a time, that the Lord is showing their people what is living within their own heart. What does Paul say? He says, I see another law in my members. What does he mean then? Just his arms and his legs? Does he mean just his flesh by members? No. Does he mean just outward sins then? No. Those are the things that are easiest to conquer. Do you think they're God's children? Then they are complaining because they are not able to leave off stealing, because they are not able to leave off living with their neighbor's wife. No, that is not the warfare of the true church of God. That is not a people that are walking in the midst of this world in all kinds of outward sin. No. No, Paul, he is speaking about something that is much deeper. He says, a law that is in my members. He said, it is something by which I am regulated. My thoughts, my judgments, my decisions. That is in my members. It is a law that is affecting my whole life. My inner being, it is a law. It is a law of indwelling sin. Turn thee yet again. Every time that he is turning himself, there he sees that enemy again. That evil that is present with me. Then he speaks about it as a law. He says it is something which is established. That is something that I cannot get away from. It is established in my very members. I see that law in my members. Oh, how visible that law is in their members. It is before their eyes continually every day again. Every time they turn themselves, then they are seeing once again this law, evil, present with me. What a disappointment. The warfare of that church is, as time is going on, as the warfare drags on, then it is going so different than they had expected. If zeal could slay sin, it would have been 1,000 times dead already. With all the desire, with all of the good intentions that they had in their hearts, then they were like the host that went up against Ai. Oh, that is just a small city. It is just a small enemy. Then they are shouting for the battle, and they are expecting that they are going to win that battle. But it goes so different. Evil present with me. Oh, how much there is to learn about the evil that is present with me. Then a man has to learn by experience the number in the first place. The number of evils that are present with him, because there are many more evils than he has ever thought that he would see. But how does he see them? Well, it is that hunger. It is that hunger and thirst after righteousness that is displaying to them one by one in that battle. It is in hand-to-hand combat with each and every one of those enemies. And it is that hunger and that thirst after righteousness that is showing unto that people every one of those individual evils. It is the delight. It is the delight in the law of God after that inward man. Oh, it is love. Love unto the Lord their God, which is opening unto them also the many idols. Can you imagine that, young people? Young people, you say, then I will ask this young lady. We will go together. And then you find in your heart, well, I look after that one, and I look after that one, and I look after that one. And then you say, do I love her? And now that people, oh, they love the Lord. Then it is not just a conscience, no. Then it is a love the Lord has put in their heart. And it is now that love of the Lord that begins to open unto them the idols that are still living in their heart. Oh, then they see the idol of pride. They see the idol of themselves. How that so often they are setting themselves up. And that they are robbing the Lord of his honor. And then they are found in their secret place. Then they are found weeping because of the love of the Lord that is living in their heart. Oh, day by day. Oh, then they feel the carnality. The carnality that is still living in their heart. And their heart that begins to weep. Weep because of the love, of the delight in that law of the Lord. Oh, they turn themselves again. And then they are attacked. Because there is an evil rebelliousness against the ways of the Lord. Oh, then they feel it. Then they are not so ready. Just to go in the way that the Lord wants to lead them. Does the Lord wish to lay on me this affliction? But I want to throw it off. Oh, then we are not so resigned unto the will of the Lord. Then we do not say that that will of the Lord is best. No, then we are so often like a bullock that is unaccustomed to the yoke. Oh, then there is reformation, yes. Then there is sorrow. Then there are tears. Then there is weeping. Then there are new vows. And then we come in our inner chamber. Then there is a hungering again. And a thirsting after righteousness, a delighting in the law of God after that inward man. And then the Lord is coming, a little token. And then we are experiencing and tasting that the Lord is good. And no sooner are we quieted. And then it is something else. All that is maybe sloth that is creeping up in our life. So that inner chamber that is neglected. And so that word of God is neglected. Sloth, we lie down in the things of the Lord. And we become busy with the things of the world. Entangling ourselves in the things of this life, which is not worthy of a soldier of the Lord's army. Heaven becomes quiet. Religion becomes cold. My reputation in front of everyone, I can uphold it. Just a little talk. Just a religious talk. But I can leave also the Lord in His place. And a close life that is gone. Evil. Evil present with me. Fear of man. Covetousness. Worldliness. Insincerity. Hypocrisy. There is nothing. There is none of that evil that does not live here in this wretched heart. Do you know what Jehoshaphat saw? That people, they see it. Like Jehoshaphat saw it. He said, "Oh Lord, it is a great company. A great company that cometh against me. And I have no might. I have no might against that great company that cometh against me." But that is our second thought. After we sing 290 verses 5 through 9. Let me behold thy people's good, and in their joy rejoice. With thy triumphant heritage, let me lift up my voice. 5 through 9 of Psalter 290. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, that is the prevailing party in this warfare, and bringing me into captivity. What does that mean? Captivity, that is a person who is taken by his enemy. He is made a captive. He is made a slave. He is under his power. He is helpless to do his own will, and bringing me into captivity. How would that be, young people, if you went to war and you set out for war with great expectations, and then you were taken captive? Say, if I had only known that I would be taken captive, maybe I had never gone to war. Or maybe I would have gotten more help, more strength, even at the beginning of that war, when I set out for that war. But I didn't know. I didn't realize just how strong, just how many, just how mighty that enemy was, and bringing me into captivity. That is now the way that spiritual warfare is going with that militant church. Will we take notice of this in this afternoon? This is the way it is going with that militant church. They are being brought into captivity. Here we have a mark. Here we have a mark of that true church of God. Oh, Christ himself did say, there are many that are going to say unto me, Lord, Lord. We have that in our days too, do we not? Lord, Lord. But what is it? Do we not see a Christianity wherein persons are increasing? But that is not the way that Paul speaks about. No, Paul speaks about a warfare wherein that church militant is decreasing. Will you remember that, young people? And will you never forget that? Your whole life long. It is a mystery, isn't it? And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Do you know what Paul says? I see that I am a slave. I am the slave of sin. And now a captive. Is he then a willing servant? No, he is in bondage. He is not allowed to do his own will. He is held against his own desire. He is made to work, and he is made to labor against his own will. That is what Paul describes here. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Thus he is an unwilling slave of sin. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Thus a captive. What does he experience? He experiences the power of his captor, his own weakness, his own helplessness to overcome. He has no power to deliver himself. He is defenseless in that warfare. So we see the mark of that true church of God. So we hear the sounds that are coming forth out of that regenerated church. A captive. He is one that is mocked. Where is now your God? Where is now your God that you professed and you were going to keep from sin? And how many times have you not vowed unto the Lord on your knees in the morning and have been nothing but ashamed in the evening? Oh, how the devil can mock at those captors. A captor is one who mourns. He is groaning under that felt misery. He is groaning under the weariness of that war. Congregation, the expectation of God's people that is greatly disappointed in the warfare. Will you take that home with you as a mark? What does the Apostle Paul say here? And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. He thought that he was going to earn life by it. That is the church. He thought he would earn life by it, but he found in it death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Do you know what he says? I was deceived. I was deceived in my expectation of the law. What I thought that that law of God was going to be able to do to me. But I was deceived by sin. I did not know how great that my sins and my miseries were. What a confusion that this is often causing in that militant church, because it is going so exactly wrong. It is going so exactly against all their expectations. Rebecca conceived. How glad she was. She was barren, and the Lord had answered her cry, and the Lord had given a child in the womb, full of hope, full of expectation. Was that now not all from the Lord? Oh, sure it was. But it did not go as she thought it was going to go. Then there was a struggle. There was a struggle in her own womb. She did not expect that. What did she do? She went unto the Lord. Do you do that too? People with that same struggle? She said, oh Lord, why? Why this struggle in my womb? Oh Lord, why? Why am I thus? You know why? There were twins in her womb. Two nations. Two manners of people. There was a perpetual enmity. They would never get along. They would never agree with each other. That struggle was within her own womb. That could never be reconciled. Why? Why am I thus? Why this evil heart of mine? Why this law? This law of sin, which is in my members, that I need to see every time I turn myself, I thought, to conquer it. I thought to live holy. I thought to love the Lord. I thought to serve the Lord. I thought to increase in the way of holiness, in the way of righteousness. But there is no change. It only gets worse. Evil. Evil present with me as a very law in my members. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Do you hear the sounds, congregation? Do you hear the sounds of everyone that is born of the Spirit? Do you hear the sounds of that new birth that is crying out, life, life, eternal life? Do you hear the sounds of love, the sounds of desire, as pants the heart for streams of living water? So longs my soul, O living God, for thee. Do you hear those sounds? Out of your own heart, out of your own bosom, do you hear the sounds of war? Do you hear the sounds of enthusiasm, of expectation, of zeal in that warfare? O Lord, I will walk in mine integrity. I will wash my hands in innocence. Do you hear the sounds of a fall, the sounds of a confession rising up unto God? O Lord, I have sinned against thee, thee only. Have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight? The sounds, the wind blowing, where it listeth, one day, another day, this direction, that direction. Coming, going, hard, soft, quiet, loud. But those sounds, everyone a little different, but all those sounds, the way of the Spirit of the Lord working, the sound of true repentance. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. O Lord, seek thy servant, but I will remember all thy commandments. Have patience with me, Lord, and I will pay thee all. The sounds of that confusion, Lord, why? Why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? Do you hear the sounds of the captives that are moaning, the helplessness, the mockery, the poverty of those captives? Be thou my help while trouble's strong, for I am weak and foes are strong. Thou hearest the sound thereof of everyone that is born of the Spirit. No, not. Blessed are the righteous. That is what that people, they say, that is what it now says in the Bible. Blessed are the righteous. That gives them so much discouragement. But it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. Wonder of wonders, the Lord comes so much lower. He reaches down unto that people that are in that warfare. Not blessed are the righteous, no. But blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And why? Why bless that people? For they shall be filled. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest where that they are. For thou knowest the inmost thought and desire of each and every one of us. And that warfare cannot be hid from thee. It is thy own work. O Lord, thou knowest the weariness of those that mourn, of those that have no power, of those that lie in their poverty, of those that are mocked by the enemy. O Lord, help them. Remember them. Uphold them, Lord, and with thy own promise that they shall be filled. And could it please thee as so soon to remember and to give them that blessed deliverance, to open unto them that way and that thou hast made in thy dear Son, or that we may be given, and by thy Spirit, a need for him, a place, room for him, and that he may be revealed. And wilt thou forgive all of our many sins, bring us safely to our places, help us in the week to come, everyone, in the calling that God has, that thou hast called him to in this world. Parents in their families, wilt thou remember us as a consistory, and we hope to meet tomorrow evening, and give us wisdom, and be with thy presence among us. Help our school, and be on their right and on their left hand of each and every one, teachers and students and school board alike. For Jesus' sake, amen. 389:1-5. Lord, hear me in distress, and regard my suppliant cry. And in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. My judgment do not cause thy servant to be tried. Before thy holy laws no man is justified. 1:3-5 of Psalter 389.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.